Welcome to Root Words, a podcast that explores agriculture and cooking's role in connecting us to our landscape and our communities. I'm Stephen Abitel. Root Words is a collaboration between Vermont Farmers Food Center, Shrewsbury Agricultural Education and Arts Foundation, and many other community members. We're excited to introduce you to some passionate folks that are bringing communities together around food. So please pull up a chair and enjoy. Welcome back to our third episode of a five-part mini-series exploring how a focus on local food builds relationships with people and the environment. If you haven't followed this mini-series, you may want to go back and listen from episode 26, Localizing the Regional Food System. In our last episode, we explored the community food web, a local alternative to the globalized food system that centers our relationships with our communities and with the land. In this episode, we look at some relationships that people have with their foodways and some of the impacts that are felt when these relationships are damaged. Then we'll hear how some folks are restoring their communities' relationships with the land and with each other. And at the end, we'll hear what Vermont Farmers Food Center is doing to help build back those community relationships in Rutland. Steve Gorlick, Managing and Programs Director for Local Futures, believes that the globalized accumulation economy has isolated us from true community. Steve says that before globalization, our agriculturally based communities were inherently more interconnected, and that this isolation has many serious effects.
The sense of community was really powerful, that people would pitch in together. They would do things like haying together, because, you know, before round bales, you needed a lot of people to get the hay in. And so people who grew up in with that kind of life, they look at what's happened now and they just shake their heads, and they see the erosion of community, the ascendancy of materialistic values and consumer values that they didn't really grow up with. So yeah, Vermont is has undergone some serious transitions over time, and in my opinion, we need to go back. It's not popular to say that we should go back, and I don't mean that literally. I just mean we need to reclaim some of the principles on which Vermont communities were based in the past. Stronger community is the foundation of individual happiness and contentment and even physical health. There's a lot of studies that show that both contact with nature and connection to others are prerequisites for mental health and even physical health. So how we get there, I think one of the problems we face is that we've grown up, most of us, in a culture that has celebrated both individualism and sees consumerism essentially as an inevitable feature of human nature. The desire for more stuff is perceived by many as just an element of human nature, which is not true. And I think that if you look cross-culturally, you can see that there are other cultures where accumulating stuff is not the goal of life. But unfortunately, we have been immersed in that so long, so much of our lives, that we can think that it applies across the board and that it's a feature of human nature, rather than a product of an economy that requires growth, that much of that growth comes from consumer spending. But this is a really crazy way to run an economy and a culture. it leads to all of the psychological problems we see from addiction to teenage suicides to senseless violence. And we need to wake up to the fact that we really are an unhealthy culture. And I do believe that localizing is a way to regain a lot of that health, mainly because it means, again, you're living more in community. You're less living in the cyber world. Your relationships are face to face, involve face to face interactions with neighbors, and you have more contact with the natural world. All of those things are what we really need to focus on, rather than just increased consumer spending, which is unfortunately how policymakers see a healthy economy.
Farmer and Vermont Farmers Food Center founder Greg Cox believes that global agribusiness's goal is yield, and that individual community health has suffered in the wake of this approach.
In people, it's not yield. If you grow healthy people from a young age, don't call it yield, it's potential. And if we can up the health and the potential of everyone in our community, we're going to be a better place. Because if you have more potential, you're going to contribute more. And you're going to be less likely to have somebody help you and support you. So for me, it really comes down to food is that first conversation on rebuilding community, economy, resilience, and health. They have found that the nutritional content of our food, produce, not the stuff that's in a can, but the produce that you eat, the nutritional content has dropped by 38%. And the reason it's dropped by 38% is we no longer have a nutrient-based system. We have a yield-based system. You're paid by weight. So you push it to the extent by feeding the soil, the plant, to make it grow fast. It makes the plant weak, and it obviously affects the nutritional content. And our food, with all the chemicals that are on it, is now making America sick. And so that's the major disconnect, is you go in the store thinking that you're eating something good, not getting canned food, which is salt, sugar, fat. you think you're eating good produce, but it's now empty compared to what it used to be. And then we don't eat seasonally. We don't eat locally. Another great little comment is our food travels an average of 1,500 miles. It's probably more today, but that used to be the cry, which means your food is soaked in oil, carbon. Everything is here for us. We need, and if we lived with our world and where physically where we live, we'd all be healthier, and our children would be healthier. And that means our healthcare costs are going to go down because our food is making us sick.
Shane Rogers of Food Solutions New England believes that social inequities have been exacerbated by an unaccountable global food system, and that communities are their own best experts for rebalancing the power dynamic that a globalized system creates.
The people involved in the production of food, not the ones who own necessarily the production of food. And when you get down to the localized level, people might be owners of their small farm, but they're still up against, you know, conglomerates of corporations that are trying to produce food. They're forced into this race to the bottom. And that results in folks not being paid a fair wage. That results in migrant labor being horribly exploited. That results in cutting costs at every corner to maintain profit and to maintain accumulation for those who are owning that type of production. The economic system has led to this hyper-individuality the need for consumption as the first and foremost driver of our lives. And social media has exacerbated this because we're, you know, we're consuming likes and content and clips and pieces, and we're incredibly isolated, right? We're incredibly isolated from each other. And in turn, we're also isolated from the systems that actually are preserving the status quo for the very few who are able to wield power and access it. And that's where I say, like, further isolation isn't the way forward. The community is its own most foremost expert on what is going to be best to feed itself, what is the best way to go about making sure everybody has enough access to food, to what's the best way to grow food and to harvest food and to make sure that the area in which we live and play and want to build our lives continues to not only just be productive, but continues to be a place that is fun to be in, that is nice to be in, that is helping balance that need for us to continue to heal the earth from what we've been experiencing these, you know, past decades and hundreds of years. And local communities need to have a say in that type of system that gets built, right? Like, that is the key, is making sure that the voices that are traditionally left out of the process are being heard and lifted up. So when we talk about justice and equity, we really talk about basing decision making in the local community, and we talk about, and we need to be pursuing what that looks like with an understanding and an emphasis that those who, again, have traditionally been marginalized may not have the most trust in any systems that are being set up. So rather than setting up systems for people, the systems need to be set up by the people. And that's going to take time, and it takes effort, and it's not always easy, and it's not always clean. But ultimately, as we continue to navigate what is becoming a more tumultuous time with our climate, with the wealth gap disparity, with, you can name all the issues, it's the community that's going to come together and support each other that is going to be the most resilient as some of these repercussions keep coming down the pike.
Many communities that have been marginalized by the global yield-based economy are rebuilding their relationships with their foodways and creating more just systems while doing so. We've explored many of these stories on RootWords over the past few years. In episode 4, Sugaring in Vermont, Vermont Abenaki chef Jesse Lawyer describes his experience practicing traditional indigenous maple sugaring. In episodes 10, 11, 15, and 16, we explore the Vermont Abenakis' quest for food sovereignty and preservation of their cultural food traditions, and hear from some allies in these efforts. In episode 18, Taking Space, Vermont Relief Collective, I spoke with Olivia Pena, founder of Vermont Relief Collective, a network by Black, Indigenous, and people of color advancing racial equity in land, environment, agriculture, and foodways. This Vermont BIPOC network amplifies and lifts marginalized voices while building community and sharing opportunities around foodways and land stewardship. If you haven't listened to our older episodes, they show some real depth to our community's cultural and social practices around food, and they are worth a listen. Instead of replaying a segment from one of these earlier episodes, I'd like to play a piece from an unaired interview I did with Rich Holshue in October of 2021. Rich is a citizen of the Elnu Abenaki tribe and working on the Atui project that hopes to create balance with communities and with place. Forced removal separated indigenous people from their land and foodways abruptly. This and the cultural genocide that followed makes it very difficult for indigenous people to maintain their relationship with place and with their food system. Rich's Atui project is doing some really amazing work in partnership with the Brattleboro Retreat Farm and Susu Community Farm to address this reality. Stay tuned for more on this work in future episodes of Root Words.
Quai indelui zilits indai wantastigak uti sokwaki kinwigo dam nami olan pam gisigak. My name is Rich Holshue. I am in Brattleboro, what you know as Brattleboro today, but is traditionally known as Wantastagak, where the Wantastook, the West River, meets the Quinnentook, the Connecticut River, at this confluence. I am a citizen of Elnu Abenaki tribe here in Vermont, one of the four state recognized tribes. I serve as a spokesperson and a public liaison for the tribe, representing native interests. And so I'm out there providing the voice that has often not been heard or has been actively discouraged. So that's what I do. I am centered here in this place called Wantastagak. So to me, land is the beginning and foundation of everything. Without it, without our mother, we are not here. And so indigeneity encompasses that principle just by what it is. It's people of a place. And so it begins with the place. And then it radiates through a community of relationships, you know, human beings and all of our other relations. And so, as I said, land is everything, place is everything, and relationships. Good relationships are what we should strive for. To be out of relationship is to, you know, move away from affirmation of life and gifts. And that's a pattern of behavior that plays out on a planetary scale, not only right here at home in our own backyards, but across the entire planet. We can see where that's headed. And I feel that Indigenous values and teachings have a lot to offer us in terms of a different way to be and a better way to be. I've been engaged as an individual in doing some of this work for a number of years here in this place, Wantastagak/Brattleboro, and then on a larger scale within the state, having served on the Vermont Commission on Native American Affairs, and doing this diplomacy, ambassador, spokesperson work on behalf of Elnu, which is centered in southern Vermont, where I am. There is a nonprofit here in Brattleboro called Retreat Farm, at the Heritage Farm. That was attached to the Brattleboro Retreat historically. They are now a community outward-facing organization with the mission to connect people with place. Director Buzz Schmidt approached me last year, kind of in the midst of this national reckoning with and grappling with the realization that not everybody's voice has been represented. Right, inclusivity and diversity are the catchwords that we put on this broadening of awareness and recognition that we need to be doing more and doing better. And so Buzz reached out concurrently with his outreach to Susu Community Farm and said, you know, we want to recognize that this is good work, that it needs to be supported, and we'd like to help provide that support. So it was a good welcome opportunity that I realized would be beneficial to carry this forward, and it could carry further. And Retreat Farm has the facilities and the know-how to help accomplish this. And so we decided to form a new group. Alongside the work that Susu is doing on behalf of BIPOC farmers and building community, but specifically for the Abenaki community, under the you know, informed more directly by Elnu Abenaki because they're here in the southern part of the state, and tying all of the projects I've been working on in the past under one roof. And it needed a name. And so the name that I came upon was an Abenaki word that's it's pronounced Atowi, accent on the first syllable, Atowi. And that means together in time and space. Mm. And it encapsulates the situation as I see it right now. We are all here now, given everything that has happened, and I'm referring to colonization and the intersection between the dominant society over indigenous people and stolen land, stolen lives. Given all that has happened, we're all here now. We have to deal with this reality right now, what has gotten us to this point and where we're going to go from here. And so it's an acknowledgement of being together in space and time. And we need to work together to find these answers. And I think a lot of those answers can be found in from the voices that have been pushed to the side and left out in service to some other agenda, which is not serving us well in the long run, any of us. Our mother is, as we treat each other, we treat our mother and vice versa. So Atowi proposes to engage in community outreach, supporting and affirming the indigenous community, to allow them to be themselves and to bring these stories, these multiple layers of reality into the light and into conversation so that we can move toward balance and away from chaos where we are now. And so Retreat Farm wants to help answer that question, to connect people with place, to provide an outlet of awareness, to facilitate the literal material reconnection of people with land, to make that connection. How do people who do not have means or who are not permitted through the systems, the powers that be, to connect with land, because land is power, land is money, in the Western way of thinking. Retreat Farm recognizes these things, and they are there to provide answers where there haven't been any before. Susu is doing amazing work with their gardens and their programs, connecting people who have not had access to healthy, fresh food produced locally. You know, the concept of a food desert. You can have all kinds of food around you. It doesn't mean that it's nutritious. It doesn't mean that it's good for you. It doesn't mean that it is keeping the land healthy and sustainable, those practices. That's a food desert. It addresses that. As human beings, we have to eat. We have to drink water. It provides that answer. It affirms vitality. And it builds community, because people that are content, are happy, are going to spread that around. If you're not, all you do is spread discontent and stress, and you're focused on keeping it for yourself and not sharing, and that's, again, you know, it's a poor way to go through life. We are surrounded. We are surrounded by blessings. This world, this earth, this place, Wantastikok. In Abenaki, the word for I am grateful or I am thankful is Ndalamizi. And that is that translates down, you know, basically as I am grateful or thankful. What it is actually saying is I am in the normal way. I sense that I am in the normal way. I am grateful because I recognize that I am surrounded by everything. And I want to acknowledge that and offer my thanks back.
Many BIPOC organizations and networks are leading the way to reestablish relationships between communities and with place. To learn more about the work of Atui and of Susu Community Farm, check out atui.org, A-T-O-W-I.org, and susucommunityfarm.org. Here in Rutland, farmer and VFFC board president Greg Cox feels that most people no longer know where our food comes from, and we've been detached from our connection to place and to seasonal change because of it, resulting in poor mental and physical health for us as individuals and for our communities as a whole. Greg feels that communities can be saved by rebuilding economic viability, beginning with a local food economy. This belief led Greg and others to create the Vermont Farmers Food Center in 2012.
We go into the grocery store and the automatic sliding doors open, and there is this massive display of usually produce. That's the first thing you see when you go in. And you have no idea where it came from. Everything is available all year round. We have a global food system. And so we're not aware of where our food comes from, how it is grown, whether it's even really clean or good for you. And with a localized food system, you have a relationship with the farmer that's growing it. You can go and visit the farm. You can see the animals being raised. You can see how the plants are raised. You can judge whether your grower, your farmer, is transparent in what they say they are. When you buy something in the store, they can create any image you want. It's marketing. But when you visit a farm, you can see that the pigs are clean animals. People make them dirty. We don't give them enough room. When you don't give them enough room, they have parasites, and they get sick. And if you eat unhealthy food, you become unhealthy. And so that transparency, surrounded by the food that you are eating, surrounded by the people that grow your food, is certainly one of the relationships. But it goes much further than that, because local food, if it's clean food, it's going to make you healthier. So it helps create physical health. To create a local food system, you can't only provide local food 26 weeks of the year. That's the average summer market. And so every year we would have the farmers market starts Mother's Day weekend. And we would really have to throw the ads in the paper and try to get people, because people were now in the supermarket and not into, oh yeah, the farmers market. And so we're like, wow, if we do 52 weeks a year, we don't even have to go through that all the time. Most of the people that shop at that point were shopping the farmers market. They were going to shop right through the winter anyway. The more farm stands you have, it's just right up in your frontal lobe. You see it all the time. It's like, whoa, I'm pulling in. And then it becomes a viable option. And it's not hard to do. So we were like, farmers market, year round. First year we opened at the co-op, the sharks, the Jaws thing. We need a bigger boat. We had 50 vendors on a waiting list. And so we were like, you know what? We need a better place, something. And so Bill Clark and I, because Bill was this man with a vision, right to the bitter end. He always thought of others, and he thought of that larger community. And we would talk about, let's get a place of our own. And we've been resilient. We have an amazing staff, an amazing director, amazing group of community members that volunteer, and all are pulling together, basically feeding people. And not just feeding people, but feeding our farmers to make them economically viable. Because you will not save Vermont farmland just through conservation. You have to save it through economic viability. And that's how you save a community, making it economically viable. And when you spend your dollars at one of these supermarkets, your money leaves town. Your money, when you spend it at a farmer's market, stays local. It grows. It has what Ken Meador would call the multiplier effect. And now we have online market, we have wholesale market. We're expanding those markets, expanding the businesses of local farmers, putting good food in the bellies of our citizens. Hopefully, and I believe it, that we are in fact making them healthier, raising their potential, and helping the entire community. The farmers market is not just about food. It's about community, it's about gathering. It's especially in the winter, when we're all, you know, shut in during storms, and you get out, you come to the farmers market, you have conversation. It's like the potbelly stove in the old store, where you come in and you just talk about things, or the barbershop. It is a gathering place. It is a transfer of ideas and hellos. Yeah, and isn't that what breaking bread is all about?
How does being a farmer help you be connected to place and to land?
I am part of something. I am not apart from it. And not to become mystical, but organic, one of the little thing phrases in there, the best fertilizer is a farmer's footsteps. And there's so many dots and points and things that you need to acquire. And if you get obsessed with those points, you never see the picture. And that's what the farmer's footsteps do. If you get out there, and I know this is with you in the woods, when you're out there, you feel something that's different. And when you're out there every day, there's almost like an ancient knowledge. You're becoming part of it, and you can feel when something's wrong. And you can see if being a farmer is being a parent and raising children. You just got a lot of them. But when you're part of that every day, and you're not obsessed with soil samples and this, and I got to do that, and all of that, that is noise that gets in the way of hearing the real voice of what's going on out there. And I think at that point, that's when you become a really good farmer. And I've seen it with guys, it's amazing, where they can pull up the soil, they can smell it, they'll put it in their cheek, they can tell pH better than my freaking pH meter. They're part of it. It is like, and then you go, oh, that's craziness. Well, then how come I need a Brix meter to tell when my corn is done, but a raccoon is there the day that it's ready? How can, when I have different tomatoes and you grow some of the tomatoes because they're perfect and they ship well and blah, 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 and then you have the certain heirlooms that are just unbelievable, how come the critters always go? How come deer will walk past six types of lettuce to get at the romaine, which just so happens to have the best nutritional value? We don't eat with our needs anymore. We don't even know what our needs are. But we're still animals like every other one of them. But we've lost something along the way because of the salt, sugar, fat, and this separation from nature. You get back to nature, you become a farmer, and you're out there every day with the weather, with everything. You begin to understand something that you cannot find in a textbook. You are part of it. Being a farmer and growing food is not a cross between a war and a mining operation. It's raising living things. And like children, raising children, it is my task to understand what their needs are and to address as many as I can. And if I address their needs and raise them, sort of like the food center helping with the local food system, if I do the best I can for them, they'll reward me. But you don't, they're not products. Once you start thinking of them as dollars and cents, you've lost it. You've just lost it. You may make money, but you won't grow good food.
By focusing on seasonal community gatherings around food, VFFC creates the space for authentic community connections and empathetic relationships between people and sets the stage for healing and restoration while reconnecting people to their home's natural cycles and rhythms. By using local food as common ground, VFFC facilitates a place-based culture that engages the community. Heidi Lynch is the executive director for Vermont Farmers Food Center. Under Heidi's guidance, VFFC leads a grassroots effort to become more connected to community and place by gathering around local food.
When I think about like what we do at the Farm Center, I think about the social bonds. Like, I really feel like that's what's actually happening, and that for long parts of our humanity's existence together, we've functioned in cooperative groups, you know, various sizes, but cooperation around food, and whether it's harvesting food or the different steps of processing or holding different pieces of what it meant to like find, gather, store, prepare our food. It was like how we formed our social webs families, right, and sustained ourselves. So I just feel like the birth and origins of Vermont Farmers Food Center is coming from that same human place, of connecting and seeing one another as interconnected and necessary to our relationship with food.
So what I hear you talking about is a lot of the way that through the food system and through connection with our food system, what we as humans, as individuals, and as communities, what we can gain, some pretty positive things from restoring that relationship. While restoring that relationship with our food system, what are some ways that type of community involvement and close relationship with the food system, how could you see that affecting the food system? Like, yeah. What might transform in our food system if we're engaged in these ways?
Awareness, I think, because I feel like awareness of, the processes, the relationships that we are choosing to participate in, whether sort of consciously or subconsciously, I feel like there's a introspection at an individual level and like that a communal societal level of what choices we're making, like what systems we're participating in. And at a moment of crisis, environmental climate crisis, humanitarian crisis, like we're seeing the mobilization, of humans moving and vast amounts of people moving related to like political and environmental instabilities. Like, I think connecting with community, both, I think there's a plurality there. Like, there's the, very local, like place-based, but then there, are obviously a globalized society as well. So like, connecting with one each other and understanding our food system and our participation in systems with one another is like builds awareness. And from that awareness, I think we heal like our earth, our relationships, our choices. And, when you're doing something so direct as like, shopping at a farmer's market, participating in like a pharmacy program or, like our everyday needs program where there's ingredients that are directly being sourced from local growers and made into meals or, distributed, that there's something about that proximity and like the visibility of that awareness and connection brings, not only is it exchange from like economy and economic standpoint, but it's an exchange with one another that I think, it literally reconnects us. It deepens our understanding of like our own role and then our collective role in like our relationship with the environment and how we're stewarding and, the decisions we're making from like individual purchasing to like policy, at a state and, you know, global regional levels. And I think from there, yeah, we can heal, and we need to heal. Like, it's loud and clear from, like I was saying, all those dimensions of, like, you know, from a, you know, so both social justice movements, environmental, you know, justice and restoration movements. And so I think that's what we gain from that connectivity, is that deepened awareness from, you know, starting with self, and then, like, seeing how that ripples out to our collective decisions and policies and systems.
I'd like to get specific with community within the Food Center. It's a wonderful program. But what really struck me was the community aspect of pharmacy. Mm-hmm. That seemed a little bit like, you know, this is something special here.
So, right, we're talking about pharmacy, which is our food as medicine produce prescription program. So we partner with medical partners in the community, so doctors and health service providers, to be able to offer patients a farm share, so a seasonal share of the fruits and vegetables that are in harvest in season. I think, again, I'd say the same thing that I said about the founding of VFFC, is like, the community built there was natural. Like, it naturally happened. It's just natural, you know, when people are coming together around these shared values, just the way that, you know, the farmers and the farmers market is like, yeah, there's like the farmers base, you know, like the more that they can sell their, you know, what they're producing, and they can produce it, right? And like have it, like there's the ability to have crops and value added products that they can share and sell to the community year round. And then there's community who are show up and want to buy that. And same with pharmacy. Like, we have this program that was built through, you know, collaboration, both with the healthcare partners, the farmers, and then people that are like willing to show up and wanting to show up. And then just from there, that's what people do, right? We get together, we enjoy one another, we celebrate. And I think just like, again, the deeper level of what's going on there, that like we're celebrating and eating and choosing to eat food that was, you know, grown at these farms that we know, by people we know. You're not necessarily selecting every item like you do at the grocery store, but you're just like, yep, whatever the farms have in harvest, I'm going to go pick up my bag and like see what's in there and see what I'm going to make from it. And I think having that element of like surprise and joy in our lives is also necessary. And so I just thought that that was a really cool, I think, aspect of what people are enjoying and building community around too, you know, is like a little bit more of this interaction with nature, and what's just there and receiving it, versus this, you know, like we said, it's just a very different relationship with grocery stores.
Yeah. So this different relationship, right, that VFFC helps steward, mm-hmm. And hold the space for, or people coming together and having these more meaningful, maybe more authentic connections. How does that help restore relationship between communities and maybe help heal injustices?
There's like a slowing down, I feel like, and there's in like that there's inherent like multiplicity versus individualism. So when we go to the grocery store, just as an example, right, like we might run into somebody that we know, but we're not like inherently socializing with other people in the grocery store, right? Like, we're all kind of pushing our carts, moving around each other in the aisles, but it's like, we're all moving around each other in this space related to food, but not necessarily at all like connecting with one another. And then I think when you move that interaction to what we were just describing about, you know, whether it's being at the farmer's market, like you're literally having conversations with every farmer and producer that you purchase from. Conversations just naturally happen. And definitely seems to be more of social interaction among people there, because I think people go to the market for that, of like, you know, you see people, you might grab something, you know, hot food to eat as well, and, you know, socialize with others. And then same like with pharmacy, like people and in our other programs, right? Like, people are showing up and knowing that like there's, you know, staff and community there that like they know and trust and like can ask questions or, you know, just catch up with, or, you know, just know that that's like that's their community that they're showing up with. And then like I was saying, from more of like the social interaction with one another, it's, yeah, you're just in each other's presence, right? And like, there's a slowing down, like we're all checking out this food that we got from the farmers. We're talking about recipes that we made. We're not in a grocery store where it's more of like a transactional, you know, setting having spaces and then the nature of what we're interacting with in those spaces, which is like locally made and produced foods, brings dialogue and connection. And from there, I think is where deep, you know, understanding, you know, forming social bonds and connections with one another from that space is where some of the healing and, you know, I think just more shared understanding from like a social equity and all of us, no matter where we're coming from, where we've ended up, like come from a place which has, you know, which has its own land-based, you know, contours that then shape like who we are from, like what we learn, you know, from our ancestral heritage or, you know, how we orient to the world. And so I think being in space together where you're inherently connecting around food in that way, coming from a place, no matter where you are from, like you see, you're able to see or have the opportunity to see, right, that like we're all coming from that at some level and to some degree and have been disconnected from it, you know, to various degrees, just given the, you know, global industrial nature of our society and food. But we all come from that and it's all still right there, you know, for us to some degree as well. And I think that's what the Farm Center really represents, because we're in, you know, for Vermont standards, an urban setting. We're at that really, you know, powerful interface of urban rural connection and what it means to, like, you know, be together in little town city centers and what it means, where our food's coming from. But there's still, you know, the land is still there. There's some part of us that's connected to nature always and our food. And we're, you know, that's where we've all come from.
A built awareness around our connections to nature and community through a local food web creates space for dialogue, understanding, and healing. We are all connected to place by our food and to each other through our community food web. When you become a supporter of VFFC, you establish a local relationship with farmers, food producers, and community members. You establish a relationship with place. For more information on becoming a member of the community at VFFC, visit VFFC's website at vermontfarmersfoodcenter.org. Food is the heart of one of our most intimate relationships with nature. We have the opportunity to connect with the land, the farmers, and our community when we restore relationships through the foods we choose to eat. Through a shared sense of place, we can build trust and start healing our relationships with each other. Rebuilding trust in our relationships with each other and with the land we occupy creates a strong foundation for food web resilience. But in order to bring the food system home, you need a physical place, and it needs to be big and accessible. On the next episode of Root Words, we'll hear how a grassroots community effort worked to rescue an aging piece of the community's industrial past. This episode was produced by Stephen Abitel and Julia Anderson. Special thanks to Steve Gorlick, Shane Rogers, Rich Holshue, Greg Cox, and Heidi Lynch. To learn more, check out the Atowi Project at atowi.org and Susu Community Farm at susucommunityfarm.org. For more information on the community at VFFC, visit vermontfarmersfoodcenter.org.
Our musical themes are by the Salt Ash Serenaders. We are a project of the Vermont Farmers Food Center and SAGE. Thank you all for listening and for being a part of our local food system. We'll catch you next time on Root Words.